station.
Stand by for an urgent bulletin.
This is the Bob and Jeff Show, starring Bob Lutz.
So I feel like I'm a kind of a local hero.
It's all fun on top.
Jeff Lutz.
I'm about to start winning some awards.
You're living in a world of make-believe with flowers and bells and leprechauns and magic frogs with funny little hats.
97.5 and 1240 KFH.
Are you ready? Let's go!
Welcome again, everybody, a Wednesday edition of the Bob and Jeff Show, KFH Radio. Bob Lutz, Jeff Lutz, your co-host. Max Power is our producer and engineer. 869-1240. That is our IHOP hotline. We welcome you to call at any time. And don't forget, IHOP is celebrating the weekdays with their house favorites, all for just $6 Monday through Friday.
What about my favorites?
No baseball again today. We've got a couple more days to wait. We had the NBA open yesterday with a couple games that I sort of paid. I probably watched 10 minutes of each. I saw Bronny come in with LeBron.
Poor guy.
And I get it.
What do you get?
He'll be in the G League shortly, and they'll develop him and see if he has any upside. But, of course, LeBron James wanted to play on the same court in the same game with his son. I got no problem with that.
Really?
Yeah, he's earned that right.
How come you never opened any of those kind of doors for me and paved the way?
You know where you'd be without me?
In the G League, probably.
Whatever the G League is in life, yes, you'd be in that league.
What league am I in?
What's below G?
So I'd be...
No, you're in a much higher league because of me.
Oh, congratulations.
You're at least in the D League.
I don't know what that means.
Well, D's higher than G.
Or it's lower, depending on how you look at it.
It's higher.
The Z League is where I want to be.
Everybody knows the highest letter is A.
But it also could be the lowest letter if you're playing blackjack.
No, you don't do that.
Could be a 1 or an 11.
I'd be quiet, would you? How's that for bluntness?
I'll be quiet, but I do have a microphone. So.
Well, try not to use it. I went out to the soccer game yesterday.
You did?
A lot of walking.
How'd that go for you?
Warmer temperatures.
Quite a bit.
And I watched a half. And Mays was up 3-0 when I left in the JV game against Campus. Jackson Duda had a nice goal.
Wow.
On a nice assist. Fed him perfectly, and he just knocked it right in the net.
Right in.
And had a good vantage point for it right in
front
of him.
What did Duda do when he scored? Did he stand up and cheer?
Jason's a class act.
Did he clap? Did he say, attaboy?
No, he didn't do any of that. He just, we reacted.
I want to know how.
Not really. Not really did much of anything.
Huh.
And I enjoyed it, I guess. I told Duda if Jackson's in the state championship game ever, I'll go.
Well, that's quite the commitment you're offering. Probably he won't be, but you never know.
Will I follow through on that?
Depends.
I'll be 73 years old by the time he's a senior.
Well, maybe he makes it as a sophomore.
No, 72. Maybe.
You never know. I don't know what Mays' long-term outlook is.
What's their record this year?
Or short-term outlook. I don't know what their record is, and I don't think I'm going to even look it up. Is that okay?
Well, I'm kind of curious. I think Mays South is a powerhouse, right?
Yeah, they're the ones that won state championship with that kid who went like to Clemson or something.
But I don't know. I don't know what kind of a program we're talking about at Mays. You're going to look, aren't you?
I guess.
You can't resist. And we're all curious. I know. The poor Campus Colts didn't play very well.
Well, we're looking for some momentum.
And you know what Campus needs to do? I've decided. If anybody's listening, you know I love you. I grew up in Derby. You were our rivals, and I had a lot of success against you. But here's what I'm going to say. Are you ready, Jeff?
It looks like Mays is 4-8-2.
Well, there you go. Are you ready for this?
I don't even know what we're talking about.
I'm talking about what I'd do if I was Campus.
What would you do if you were Campus?
Now, remember, I had a lot of
if you were a whole school.
I had a lot of success against them back in the day.
Yeah, that's like saying you had a lot of success about the cricket outside. No offense
to Camp. What does that mean?
It's just, you know, it's kind of an overmatched opponent, campus.
Why are you saying that about campus? They were really good when I was a kid.
In baseball, they won a state championship recently. In basketball, they were undefeated.
Yeah, and when I was a kid, they were good. And when I played against them in high school, they were good.
Sure.
With Rod Deffenbaugh and Steve Richardson and
anybody could just make up names.
Well, talk to Wayne Gifford.
Tom Deffeldahl.
Find out if I'm making up a name.
And Bill Bobbledew.
You know, you're getting on my nerves. No, I'm serious.
I know.
And I don't like that when you do it.
Why?
I'm not making up names. it's what you're doing isn't funny.
It is too.
Nobody likes it. Nobody likes you tweaking me. When I'm being serious.
Okay, well, be serious for a minute, then.
I don't understand why you do that.
You don't?
No.
Well, when you come up with these dinosaur names.
Why are they dinosaur names?
I don't know, because they're long. They sound almost scientific. I'm just saying they sound like dinosaur names.
Very good player. But here's what I'd do if I were campus.
Finally.
Their colors are black and white, right?
There's some yellow in there sometimes.
Where?
It used to be.
Let's add some color. Let's go a little crazy.
I think
if you're
Frontenac camping. Maybe does black and white. I'm not sure how the
black
other.
Black and white's not working for me.
You can only do what you can only do.
Well, you shouldn't have your team colors as black and white.
The Raiders, black and silver.
Black and silver.
What about the San Antonio Spurs?
Black and silver.
So do you think campus says they have some silver in there?
I don't see any silver.
Is Chris Davis listening? Maybe he can give us.
Well, I don't know. There's certainly somebody from campus who's listening. I'm just saying that their
maybe
soccer
our friend John
team
Burke
went out there
listening.
Yesterday, and they were in black and white. And I just needed a
splash
of color.
What was Mays in, red and white?
Yeah, but red. You know, they got red.
Trying to think if there are any other black and white.
You know what I think about splashes of color? Look at my kitchen right now.
Yeah, it's a lot of them.
What do you think of it?
It's colorful.
No, be honest.
It's a splash.
Do you like it?
I thought I already told you that I...
Yeah, but say it on the air.
I thought I did.
Say it on the air. Do you like the way the kitchen looks?
Yeah.
There you go.
Does that count? I was trying to evade it again.
Why are you trying? Why can't you just throw me a bone?
I did in real life.
And my wife a bone.
What did she do?
She helped me pick all this. This was a team effort. We took a chance. I could have gone black and white.
Black? I don't know. Does anybody have black in their house?
Sure.
Where?
Well, our countertops are dark.
They're asphalty.
But we went for that look on the backsplash and the trim, and you got to admire it.
It's certainly a choice.
So that's what I'm getting at with campus. Throw in a little orange or something.
Yeah, can you just do that?
You know, black and orange is a good look. You know who's black and orange?
Augusta.
The Augusta Orioles.
The Baltimore Orioles.
Right, but the Augusta Orioles are who I was.
San Francisco Giants.
I'm thinking about high school now. I'm not thinking about anything. Don't get on my nerves again. I'm very prickly right now. I don't.
Why?
Because you're getting on my nerves.
But why were you before?
Because you got on my nerves. I'm prickly and I'm proud of it.
Well, get over it. Whatever it is.
Trying to think if there's any other orange and black in the area.
That's what I was also trying to think. There's not a lot of orange in the area.
Not that I can recall.
No, me neither.
All right, the picks are, I've tabulated the picks. You're starting to run away with this thing, and it's becoming a little concerning. You are now at 176 points. And you lead in the games, too. You're now back to 500.
Impressive. I'm breaking even.
32 and 32. Duda is at 26 and 38. He's terrible. But he does have 151 points.
That bonus game's working out for him.
He's gotten two in a row of 10.
At least.
Max is at 28-36. He's actually two games ahead of Duda, but only 94 points because he can't get a bonus game to save his life.
Well, he too much pride is what's going on with Max. Max has pride over victory, and I just can't really get with that. And like, especially if it's hatred, you know? Like, if we were picking Cleveland Guardians or Indiana Pacers every week, at least I'd be picking them to win. Max Anthony, is letting hate take over.
Anthony had a zero for a week, and he's still only 4 points behind Max.
Uh-oh.
But he's at 21-43, and I'm 30 points behind you and 5 points behind Duda. I better get it going.
30 points is not insurmountable.
Yeah, but I keep falling farther behind every week.
What do you do when you're ahead with that bonus game? Do you try to take chances?
That's up to you.
Do you play it conservatively?
That's up to you. You're the one that's in the lead right
now.
This is
the first time we've ever had the bonus game. So I'm kind of the guinea pig for the strategy of it.
Well, the bonus game this week will be Kansas State.
Looking forward to it. Like 10.5 is the line right
now.
That's
a tough pick.
Is it?
Yes.
I guess we'll find out.
I'd be shocked if
K-State
anyone goes
is 10. Rolling.
Yeah, but Kansas is starting to play better.
No, they're not.
They are. They're playing
better.
They beat
Houston.
They're playing better. Trust me.
Give me another piece of evidence that they're playing better.
Their offense is playing better. Their defense, not so much.
Houston is the cure for a lot of problems.
I don't buy it. I think you're wrong, and you're that's
remember what
times.
I say every year. You need to be reminded of this pretty often. Every conference has a doormat. Doesn't matter how good the conference is. Somebody in that conference.
Houston is that this year, but they're improving, and they've got a very good coach, and they'll be okay. Houston will figure it out.
You keep saying this about Willie Fritz.
Yeah, I like him.
What do you like about
him?
He's
a Kansan. And if you're a Kansan, you're in my book, you're okay. I'm going to always defend my state.
Where'd he come from?
Shawnee Mission area, somewhere.
No, you hate those people.
I used to hate them. I don't hate them anymore.
That's good.
The Royals have been good to me. So I gotta develop a newfound sort of respect for them up there in that area. And it's foolish. I mean, they're dominating right now.
Who?
Kansas High School Sports.
Yeah, they are. That's why we need schools like Derby. We need our 5A representation down here to represent.
Here's what we have for you today on the show. Our friend Weston Schartz will join us
really?
At 2:25. We'll talk to Weston about the Cape and Mount Carmel football program. And at 2:45, Kinsley Jones. Talk about somebody who's dominating. She won her fourth consecutive state golf title yesterday. She's headed to KU. I don't know what her ceiling is. It's exciting. She's the granddaughter of Greer Jones, one of the great golfers to come out of Wichita. And that's exciting. I don't know what she can accomplish. The sky is literally the limit.
I suppose.
What do you mean you suppose?
I don't know. I don't know.
I do.
Why?
Because I follow this career. It's amazing. It's amazing what she's done.
Four state championships.
Right.
Yeah.
It's amazing. Do you follow any of this?
Do I follow girls' high school golf? Not as much as you may think.
Well, I don't think you follow it at all.
Right. So not even that much.
Well, there you go. Thanks for admitting that.
So, no offense to anybody who's out there killing it.
Do you notice how many times you say no offense? And do you know what you're actually saying when you say that?
Right.
I'm offending you.
Do you think I'm offending the girls' high school golf community in Kansas?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
To some degree.
Well, name three other players that I should be following.
To some degree, you're offending them. I was interested that a girl from Rollins County. Now, I'd have to even look up where Rollins County is. It's up in the northwestern. Look that up for me.
Oh,
what's the consolidation with Rollins County? Because that's one that's new to me. But they had a young woman who won 3A golf, I believe, and beat a young woman from Collegiate, I think. I think I'm right about that. But that was impressive.
Sure, absolutely.
What's the county seat of Rollins County?
I would assume Atwood.
Otwood? You mean Atwood? Atwood.
That's what I said.
You said Otwood.
No, I didn't.
I mean, I've never heard of Otwood.
Well, neither have I. That's why I said Atwood.
Let's get to Future Bob. He's on the IHOP hotline. Hey, Bob.
Hey, I just thought I'd throw this in on you. Cali County Junior College is orange and black, too, down at Arc City.
That's a good one.
There you go. The Tigers.
Yeah. They recruited you in the past, right, Future Bob?
Yeah, probably did, but I said no to them.
Good job.
You are so Bob.
Were you recruited ever by Cloud County?
No, sir. Yeah.
Okay.
I heard.
There are some discrepancies.
Yeah, I heard you were.
Right. I was. Jeff wasn't.
Oh, okay.
I wasn't.
I wouldn't dispute that.
Kind of embarrassed.
Anything else?
Yeah. I hope one of these days you make it to Jerry's over in Kingman. Also, there's Houdini's Pizza over there at Kingman. That's good, too. And Smitty's.
You guys take day trips over there?
Oh,
do you live in Kingman?
No, I live here in Wichita. But I just thought I'd throw that in there.
Well, we'll make a trip of it over to Kingman.
Yeah, Jerry's restaurant and that Smitty's Hamburgers on the south side of 54. And also Houdini's is on the south side of...
I don't know if I'll hit all three of them on one trip.
Can you tell us what used to be in those spots, Future Bob?
Why don't you let us talk?
Well, that's what you like to do. Oh, there was over. So I thought Future Bob might like to do that also.
I would say at one time Houdini's looked like it might have been a... Do you remember Peter Pan ice cream stores here in Wichita?
Absolutely, I remember them.
Yeah, looked like it might have been one of them at the time. And that restaurant burned down, I don't know, 15 years ago, and they rebuilt it. It started out as a daylight donut shop, Jerry's restaurant on Main Street.
Yeah.
How do you know so much about Kingman?
Well, I don't know. I like the town. I go there quite a bit to eat. Nice town.
Okay. Well, it's always a pleasure to hear from you. Thank you for calling.
Okay. Oh, yeah. I haven't hit Ziggy's Pizza over here, but I heard it's good. But
you ought to try that, Bob.
Yeah, okay. Well, take her easy.
Thank you. I don't know, man. That is becoming one of my all-time favorite calls.
Because he's you.
How so?
That's exactly the stuff you're going to talk about in 5 years. Well,
that's already what I talk about.
Exactly, and when you don't have as many responsibilities, you'll be pining for Jerry's and Kingman.
Do you not enjoy hearing that? That was one of the most incredible...
Yeah, it's like hearing you in 5 years.
Well, you don't know what I'm going to be like in 5 years.
Yeah, I do.
No, you don't.
You're going to be like that. You're going to be calling into some radio show. You'll be retired somewhere in North Dakota.
I'm going to be in North Dakota.
I don't know.
What a dumb thing to say. Why would I go to North Dakota?
It's quiet.
I'm quiet here.
It's not that quiet here.
Well, it's normally quiet.
It can be.
My goodness. What a crazy North Dakota.
Well, I don't know where you're going. I just know Future Bob is already there.
Well, I wouldn't mind meeting Bob over in Kingman.
I'm sure it would be fantastic.
We'll probably get that arranged at some point.
Is Future Bob in on that joke? I can never really tell if he's...
Of course he is. He loves it.
He loves
Future
being...
Bob gets it.
He does?
He's three times smarter than you are. And here's what he's doing listening to you right now. He's probably talking to his wife. Jeff doesn't think I get it. Jeff's an idiot.
Yep, sounds like
his wife saying, I could have told you that. That's exactly how that conversation
just
went.
Weird that he wasn't or doesn't remember being recruited by Cloud County back in the day.
My gosh.
I guess your memory starts to go in a few years. That's good to know.
I think Bob dislikes you.
He continues to call.
Because it's me. It's me, man.
Yeah, sure. I'm the one who... Do you think when he calls, he says, this Future Bob...
Max, does he call himself Future Bob?
No, I just say Future Bob, and he kind of agrees.
Is he okay with that? I mean, we feel like he's perfectly fine with that, right?
He got glossed is what happened. He's future Bob forever now.
All right, let's take a break. Why does Max talk a lot sometimes and then very little?
He watches his hockey videos. He doesn't want to be distracted.
Is he watching hockey videos?
He does quite a bit. I got no problem with that.
No, I'm re-adding up all the totals for the picks.
Well, you don't need to re-add them. You're dead last.
No, your numbers are off, Bob. Sorry.
No, they're not.
They're both probably off, if we're being completely
honest.
I'm
the official score. My numbers go. You were 5-3 last week. You had a pretty good week, Max.
Solid.
But you lost your bonus game, so you ended up having a pretty bad week. We'll be back in a minute with Weston Schartz, the head football coach at Capon Mount Carmel. Stay with us.
This is the Bob and Jeff Show on 90s.
Wrote Tracy. I just read what Max writes.
Unfortunately, he's wrong, and that's okay.
He is wrong. And had I been thinking clearly, which I haven't done since about 1994, I would have caught that.
I miss our country days.
Good for you.
Thank you.
Here's Weston Schartz, the head football coach at Capon Mount Carmel. How you doing, Weston?
Bob, I was doing good till I heard that song.
Oh, my God. Casey Musgraves, get over yourself, coach.
Never heard of her.
Well, you should start.
Well, both of you need to just... I don't know how you can't have heard of her, but again, it's fine. You're stuck in the 80s, kind of like we've always known, and that's okay.
I'll send you a playlist.
I'm all right with it, though. There you go. I can't wait to get it, Jeff.
Let's talk about your team. You're 5-2. You've got Wichita Heights coming up Friday at the Stryker Complex, and then you enter the 4A district play. What's it like, Weston? You've played all these 5 and 6A teams all year. When that's all over, you're going to drop down to 4A and play teams you've never coached against and Capon has never played against. Are you prepared for that?
Well, you know, it is different because I find myself several times during the week checking scores and seeing who we could possibly match up with. And most of the time I go the 5A bracket and I go, oh, crap, we're 4A. So I'm not really used to it yet because we haven't played any games. But there are some quality 4A teams, but not like 5A. Somebody would, you know, they'd be lying if I said that was. But there are a few good teams in that bracket, and we're going to have to play good football to advance.
So we were talking with Steve Martin the other day, obviously from Northwest, and about his non-conference schedule, and he tries to load it up. He gets 3 games, I guess, for whatever reason. Everybody else only gets 2. I still don't understand why that is. But you had Andover and then St. James Academy. Is that important to you to schedule tough? And what did you learn about your team in that game against St. James, which is a powerhouse?
Well, you know, what I learned is we couldn't defend the pass. And we have to work on that in order to get to where we want to be. But, you know, St. James is a very, very tough team to play for us because they do a lot of throwing. They do a lot of things that we don't see a lot of. And we definitely don't get to practice it because we're a running team. We've stopped the run really, really well this year, but we haven't defended the pass very well. And, you know, getting to play a team like St. James is a good measuring stick for us. We've actually played them 6 times at Capon. We've won 3 times at their place and none at our place. And so it's kind of a weird situation, but it is a good rivalry. 2 Catholic schools going against each other, and we enjoy it. But, you know, and then our first game was with Andover, and everybody came to me and said, what's wrong with you guys? Well, number one, we lost 9 offensive starters. Number two, we lost 7 defensive starters. And Andover's a good team, and they've proved to people that they are a good team and well coached. So we've had a really tough non-city schedule, and it does help you down the stretch.
Weston Schartz is our guest. He's a head football coach at Cape and Mount Carmel. He's been doing this for a long, long time. And one of the questions I asked Coach Martin yesterday was about the City League in a bigger picture. You've got a good program. Northwest has a good program. East has had a couple of really good years here. It looks like they're developing a program. How does the rest of this league get itself up to the standards of maybe a city league that maybe is no longer ever going to exist again? Maybe I just should forget thinking that we could ever get back to the 70s, 80s, and 90s where every city league team had good players and it was a challenge to play everybody. Are those days gone forever?
Now, you were talking about my music a few minutes ago about me being stuck in the 80s. I think, you know, you and I may be stuck there athletically, too, because, you know, here recently it's just been so top-heavy. You know, you get two or three teams that advance. I can't really tell you why, other than the fact that one of the things that I really believe that's hurt our league, and I'm going to get some little league coaches mad, but in the day they had the Panthers, the Lakers, the Bears, the Orange Crush, and maybe one other team. And now it's so watered down. These guys are, you know, 7-8 teams. If they don't like the coach they're playing for, they skip to another team. But back in the day that we were dominating the state, you played for the team that you lived in. You know, if you lived in a district, that's who you played for. And you developed camaraderie with those kids. You knew who was coming. They were teammates for 4 or 5 years, and that makes a big difference when you go out and play the Shawnee Missions or the St. James or the St. Thomas Aquinas. And I believe that's really, really hurt our City League football. The word is that they may possibly be bringing it to the middle schools, and I sure hope that's the case.
When did you start to see the shift toward that more kind of top-heavy league? I was just talking with my friend Randy Griffiths yesterday, and we were recalling our days at North when we had a lot of really good athletes who played football, but they didn't really ever win, but they were still good. Now it's just maybe the athletes aren't there in some of these schools. So when did that really start to shift, in your opinion, where it was only two or three schools that had a chance of winning year to year?
Probably in the early 2000s. And, you know, I believe this too. I believe that without having, you know, the transfer rule that we do have, these kids are going any place they want to go. You know, you got one kid here one season, then he's at another school the next season, and maybe a coach made him mad or a situation arose. And it's, you know, it's been that way for a long time. And I don't think I've ever seen it worse where kids, you know, I'm looking at rosters, I'm going, well, that kid played at this school, and that kid played at this school, and that kid played at this school. And it hurts the programs, the West, the North, South is having a good year. But it hurts those middle, those lower division schools because, you know, the good players, they seek to go someplace else. And if you're really not on top of it as a head coach, you're going to lose players. I was on top of it. I made sure I knew who we were going to get, who we had, and made sure that those kids believed in what we were doing, and which took a lot of effort and time. And I'm not sure the coaches want to put in that effort and time that it takes to bring a program that's not very good up. But it's a lot of work. But, you know, these kids, they want instant gratification. And they're willing to transfer schools, and how they're doing it, I don't know how they're doing it, but it's happening.
So do you have to kind of recruit your own players back to your program? We know that happens in college because the transfer portal, there's not a lot of restrictions in place for kids to transfer high schools. Do you feel like every summer you have to convince a lot of guys to stay in your program?
Well, when I was at West High, definitely, I had to have that good rapport with them, and they had to, you know, believe in me. And you always wondered, well, I wonder if this kid's going to move, or this kid's going to, parents are going to tell him to transfer, or, you know, those types of things. I didn't worry about it a ton because I had already established myself in our program. but some of these guys that are trying to build new programs, I would hate to go to one of those schools now and have to battle the things that they battle and to keep their kids there. And, you know, anybody that says that there's no roster shakeups, they're not telling the truth. These kids are going pretty much where they want to go, when they want to go, how they want to go. And it happens everywhere throughout the state. And, you know, it's kind of trickling down from the colleges. I talked to a very prominent college coach the other day, which I'll remain nameless, and said it's taking the joy out of his job, because if he coaches hard one day and makes a kid mad, they're going to hit the portal next year. So it's a tough thing.
Weston Schartz, our guest, head football coach, Cape and Mount Carmel. They're 5-2, headed into a game Friday at the Stryker Complex against Heights High School. So you mentioned all the losses you had from last year's team, which was a runner-up in Class 5A. How are players developing? Are you finding some of the guys getting better, starting to come into their own?
Oh, no doubt about it, Bob. We started whole new offensive line, and they weren't real good early. You know, I told them that, but as the season has went on, they've done a heck of a job improving. And we've had some injuries that we haven't had our starting backfield together since week two. One may be gone 1 week, one may be concussion the next or whatever, but we've had to come up and try to find some new players that can step up. And, you know, that win we had against East was huge. We had some guys step up. We had some guys step up all year, and we feel like we're getting better. But we still don't have that identity yet, and we're still kind of looking for that offensively. But, you know, we better get it real soon, because we're getting ready to get in the playoffs, and we got to take care of business there.
So much of your offense and your team was identified by Omari Elias last year. One of the great campaigns we've ever seen from a football player, certainly from a running back. He's at Air Force. We had a speaker at League 42, a kid out of Altus, Oklahoma. He was the player of the year in Oklahoma, a running back. He went to the Air Force Academy, and he had to sit out his freshman year. He didn't get much playing time, and he thought about, boy, what am I going to do here? I thought I'd be on the field immediately, but he persevered through that, became a starter the next 3 years, a very good player for the Air Force Academy. Now he's a captain and a pilot in the Air Force. What's Omari's track look like?
It's looking like the same track. When I spoke to him last, he was – if I'm not mistaken, he was not suiting up on away games. And it was, you know, it's hard for a kid to swallow. You go from 3,000 yards to fighting to get a suit up on the road. But I guess the head coach called him in and said, look, Omari, we expect big things from you in the future. You got to wait your turn. You got to know the system. And I think that's pretty standard there, that a lot of freshmen don't get much playing time at all. But, you know, when I talked to Omari, he said, there's 10 or 12 backs that may be better than me. So, you know, he's a humble kid. He knows that he's got to keep battling and, you know, to get on the field, but he'll get on the field eventually. But I do think it's really tough for freshmen at that particular school.
Well, that was a very calm and friendly interview, Weston. What's happening to us?
We're getting old. Man, here's my question for you, Bob. Can I have one question?
You certainly may.
Yes. Okay. Now, I've noticed all your stuff that you've done at League 42, and you have a huge passion for it. Would you rather, A, coach at West Urban and win every tournament in town and in the state, or B, coach at League 42 and make a difference in kids' lives?
I think you know the answer to that question. I've done both.
Well,
I've won everything you can imagine.
Yeah. You did.
Yeah, I'm sure you have. You fix every tournament. You and Larry Davis, I get it. I know how it was in the day, and I'm sure you do the same thing.
I enjoy what I'm doing now quite a bit. So that's my level of contentment.
I love it. I appreciate it. And I love it, and I appreciate that. And you understand all those years at West, what it meant to me and the time that, you know, we didn't always have everything, but by darn, it was rewarding. Not to say that Capen isn't, because it is, but there's something about taking kids that don't have everything in the world and teaching them a game of baseball or football or basketball or, you know, those types of sports.
No doubt. I appreciate what you've done in your career and life, and we always love having you on, and good luck against Heights and in the playoffs.
Okay, see you later, Jeff. I'm going to go practice my American Idol tiny dancer. Take care.
As you should. Let me know when you're ready.
Weston Schartz, the head football coach at Capen. Here's Kinsley Jones from Mays High School. She is now a four-time state golf championship, joining only two others in the history of Kansas high school sports. With that distinction, she won the 6A crown yesterday at Cary Park in Hutchinson. Kinsley, welcome to the show. I believe this is your second appearance here.
Yes, thank you for having me.
Well, we're very happy to have you. What's it like? How was this one different? You'd won three previously. You obviously went into this tournament as the favorite to do it. But that's only a word. You pulled it off. What's it like being a four-time state champion?
Yeah, it's pretty cool. It feels really good to see all my hard work pay off.
You talked a lot about having some nerves, and I know you did not want updates on how others were doing or where you stood. I'm sure you probably knew in the back of your mind, but why was that? Why did this one maybe feel like there was some added pressure to it?
I think the pressure just came from, like, the expectation of everyone else. I won three already, so then I was like, oh, well, she has to win the fourth one. So I think that's where the pressure came from.
Talking with Kinsley Jones. And I want to get to your upbringing and what turned your interest toward golf. It's an obvious story, but I want you to tell it and all that. But I want to get to the 58 you shot earlier this fall at Heston, 13 under. I saw that and my jaw dropped. I don't care who you are, to shoot a 58 on any course, 13 under, is just ridiculous. What was that day like? You must have been hitting everything flush, right where you wanted to. How do you describe that?
Yeah, it was definitely fun. It's fun to play good, so playing like that was a lot of fun. And I was playing with my teammate that day. But yeah, it was definitely fun. But it was a little overwhelming in the end. But yeah, it was fun.
Even though you're a really good golfer, how many rounds have you played where you felt like that? Like, I'm really on today. I'm really playing my best golf. How many times is that common?
That's a little different. I feel like at 50 it's a little different, but I definitely have rounds that I'm like, yeah, I played solid today, but I don't know. 58 just feels different. It was kind of like, well, I couldn't really do much better. Couldn't really change anything.
Yeah, so take us into your personal journey with golf a little bit. Obviously, the game runs in your family, but do you remember the time that you were maybe first exposed to it, what your feelings about the game were initially, and then how you kind of on your own discovered that not only that you liked it, but you were good at it?
Yeah, my grandpa just taught me and my siblings, you know, when I was growing up, and I would just go out there when he was like helping my older sister or something, and I was just always around it. And so when I was in, like, I don't know, maybe middle school, and I started realizing that, like, oh, I'm good at this, like, this is something, like, I like to win, I like to compete, like, and I something I could do, I really started to like want to keep going and get better so I could win more.
Talking now with Kinsley Jones, four-time golf champion for Mays. I've known your grandfather for a long time. I have a deep amount of respect for him. I used to coach a softball team way back in the day when one of his daughters played, and he was pretty fiery. And I can only imagine being taught by him. What was that like? Because I'm pretty sure he probably didn't pull many punches. He's – he's a pretty strict guy, I would imagine. How much credit do you give him for what you've become as a golfer?
I mean, yeah, honestly, he deserves a lot of it. He is my coach still, and he, you know, showed me the game, and he teaches me still. And he's always there. He's always helping. He's still around now doing that. So he's done it my whole life.
What was it that if you had to boil it down to one message or one technique that your grandfather Greer Jones emphasized, can you do that? What did he talk about most often, or what part of your swing did he want you to work on the most? What was it like? What did he teach you?
I would say the biggest thing that I always like have is to work on my short game. Even after I shot my 58, he said, you need to spend a little extra time on your putting and your chipping.
He said that. That's Greer Jones right there.
Yes.
So what's it like being known for this? Obviously, you know, when people who maybe don't know you personally hear your name, they think about golf. Is that something that you like? Does the game consume you? I assume as a teenager, you probably have a lot of other things that you like to do. So what is that the case, or is it all golf, or what other kind of hobbies do you have?
I mean, I would say it's pretty much golf. Golf is like what I do all the time. So if I'm going to be known for something, I guess it's good that it's golf. I will take that any day.
And that, I hate to keep going back to your grandfather, Greer, but he was such a really good athlete as a kid as well, and obsessed with it. And you sound like you've kind of fallen off that same tree. You're kind of in that same realm. You're going to KU to play golf. I imagine your aspirations, I don't want to put words into your mouth, but you'd love to take this to the very highest level. How do you go about that? How do you set out on a journey like that?
I mean, yeah, when growing up with him, he kind of not puts it on you, but it just rubbed off on you. He loved it. He always wanted to practice. He always wanted to get better. And so that kind of just is engraved into my brain. And I think just, I know I can work hard. I know what I'm capable of, and just seeing how it all plays out.
And I think what the question Jeff asked you about, what else do you do? I mean, I know you're like Jeff said, you're a typical teenager in some ways, but to get where you want to be in the game of golf and where your grandfather got to and how he devoted pretty much his entire life to the game of golf. Is that kind of how you feel? That's kind of how you have to approach this?
I mean, yeah. Growing up, I missed a lot of sleepovers or birthday parties or like hanging out with my friends because I was practicing, but I don't think I ever really like cared. I think that didn't really bother me. I was fine with that. And even now I still am fine with that. Like, that's just what I do and what I want to do.
I guess I don't know the rules before. I was going to ask this question. I don't know if it'll be, if it'll even make sense, but can you attempt to qualify for professional events? I know there are many women's professional tours out there. Can you do that at the same time you're playing collegiately? And is that something that you will pursue?
I know this summer I got a sponsor exemption into the Annika Women's All-Pro Tour. And I played in that. And I think that you can play in that during college, I think, but I also would not bet my life on it. But if I could, I probably will.
Well, you're a remarkable young woman, and you've had an incredible high school golf career. Now it moves to that next level. I know you're excited about it. Kinsley, congratulations. We really appreciate you coming on the show.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
All right, Kinsley Jones. I'm just fascinated by that. You know, you hear about the very best, right? The very best athletes who devote pretty much all of their time and attention to that particular sport and getting better and practicing and playing. And a lot of times you don't hear any reluctance about that. You don't hear that with her. Yeah, I'd like to do that, but I gotta practice my putting. You'd never do that. I tried to get you to do that.
To practice my putting?
Practice your hitting. No, but you had to go, listen to the Eagles somewhere or something.
Probably, right? Or somebody. You know, folks, I listen to a lot more music than just the Eagles. I want people to know that.
Why are you getting so touchy about that?
I'm very proud of my Eagles fandom.
You're kind of backing off from the Eagles a little bit right now.
No, I'm not.
Yeah, you're trying to make it.
I just don't want anybody to think that that's all I listen to, because I listen to a ton of music.
Well, listen. I enjoyed that interview.
It was good stuff.
It's interesting to talk to someone who's really good at something, right?
Well, you talk to me every day.
I can't talk to myself, so I got to get it from someone else.
Must be.
And I do talk to you every day, but
I'm really good at this radio thing, man.
Who's told you that?
Oh, I've heard it. I've heard it around.
I'd like for Tony Dusing to come on this show and say those words.
Do you think he'd say you kind of suck? I mean,
here's what I think he'd say. You guys do a good job. We were very happy to have you. And Bob, if we lost you, we'd be in trouble.
Let's have him on to say that.
Well, I don't know.
I want to hear him say that, because he's never said that to me.
I don't know what he'd say.
He says to me, Jeff, this is your show, and we hope Bob as soon realizes that.
Tony Dusing, of course, our program director, who's a big fan. I'll just put it
No question.
All right, we'll take a break. An hour to go. We've got Mike Furches next. We'll talk some pop culture with Mike. We'll get to the DeAndre Hopkins trade for the Chiefs. I view it as an okay thing. I don't know that it's going to move the needle a whole lot. I don't know that the Chiefs need to move the needle a whole lot, frankly. Back in a minute.
Oh, a microphone.
And a phony at the mic.
This is the Bob and Jeff Show, starring Bob Lutz.
I just go with what I do.
Incorrect. Wait for it. And I hope you're hungry, because the second half of this word is edible. Incredible.
Jeff Lutz.
Have you ever been nominated for anything of the year?
Yeah.
What?
Man of the Year by the NCAA. I didn't win it, but...
Oh, my gosh.
97.5 and 1240 KFH.
Don't touch that dial.
Welcome back. It is the second hour of the Bob and Jeff Show, 869-1240, the IHOP hotline. We'd love to have you join us. Right now on that hotline is Mike Furches, our good friend. We're here to talk pop culture. Mike, as Halloween approaches, we know what you're watching. Scary movies,
yeah.
Things that would make me hide under my seat. How you doing?
I'm sitting here smoking a cigar, enjoying some Ziggy's pizza, and wearing my Tennessee shirt and hat. I'm doing wonderful.
That's quite a life you got going there.
Hey, you know, I smoke a cigar for like the next 2 weeks now, since Tennessee don't play again for another 2 weeks, so... You get to enjoy that Bama victory a little bit more. So, you know, it's great to be a Tennessee fan.
Well, don't enjoy it too long. You got bigger fish to fry now that you're in that mix of the college football playoff.
Yeah, ranked number seven. Half Kentucky, and then I forget who after is Kentucky. Then the third week out to Georgia. You know, if it was college football picks that you guys are doing, it's a good thing you didn't invite me, because I'd clean the house. I'll just say, you know, I'll just say
that. Please, give me a break.
Mike
Furches.
I know college football, but that's beside the point. I'm having a good time, Bob.
Well, why don't you clean up on FanDuel?
Why aren't you on FanDuel just putting them out of business?
Well, true story, if my son's listening, I give him my picks on a pretty much a weekly basis. He won like $600. I think it's $560 last week. He hit a parlay.
That's a pretty good week.
So, yeah, and he heads out to his house, and his wife cooks for me, and I get to hold the grandbaby. So, you know, I'm getting payment enough. But I've always made a point, you don't bet on something unless you're absolutely 100% sure you're going to win. And I never know if I'm going to 100% sure win. So I'll do my best.
We always have a little brief talk about, or text exchange about, what we're going to talk about. We're going to get into horror movies because it is close to Halloween. But what's going on at NASCAR Park tonight? Is there a showing of The Wizard of Oz? Is that correct?
Yes. absolutely correct. Tallgrass starts up today, Tallgrass Film Festival, which is a, I've said it before and I'll say it probably till I draw my last breath. It is a Wichita gem, one of the top 10 film festivals in the world. I mean, it's hard to believe that little Wichita, Kansas, but they have some incredible talent that comes in. But tonight at Nassinger Park, right downtown across from where Barleycorns and stuff is at, I think where most people know where that's at, they're showing on the big screen tonight at the park The Wizard of Oz. And in Kansas on a nice night on the lawn at Nassinger, and it's free. What a great thing for people to go to do. And of course, The Wizard of Oz, I think, is the official movie of the state of Kansas, as it should be. And since 1930s, this movie has held off as long as it has. And you can't go any place. I stopped at a couple places when the last time I went to Ohio. And even in these little restaurants or these little museums, the places that honor The Wizard of Oz, it's not just when we go here in Kansas. There's other places around the country. And we went to a little museum in Cleveland, Jeff, and there they had a Wizard of Oz thing. Why in Cleveland, I have no idea. But, you know, that's in our backyard. And I love the movie.
And I've never understood why so many Kansans kind of want to run away from that association with The Wizard of Oz. To me, it's a badge of honor. Some would say it's the greatest movie ever made. All these years later, I don't know if I buy that, but it's certainly one of the great movies.
I'm with you to say it's one of the great movies for sure. I think it's probably one of the top. It's easily in the top 50 movies of all time, and. But you can go to Spirit Halloween stores here in town, not to plug them, but there's so much great Halloween stuff in there and great scares and a very large selection of Wizard of Oz costumes, which I guess is still one of their top sellers. I mean, little girls and, you know, whoever, they're still buying the little Dorothy costumes, and they have the Cowardly Lion, the Tin Man, they have it all, and they sell like crazy. So it's. I think I agree with you, Bob. It's a badge of honor for the stuff. That and Superman. I can't believe that Superman doesn't get the credit that it should. And here just a few miles over west of us is Hutchinson.
Dude's from Kansas.
The Smallville Festival. And he's from Kansas, yeah. Clark Kent. And
great town of Smallville.
Yep, that's correct. And I've always thought,
Mike, I have a question. When you're done,
Hutchinson,
okay, go ahead.
Let Mike finish.
I thought he was finished.
That's okay. Hutchinson calls
We're rambling now,
Smallville,
Mike. No offense.
But Hutchinson calls itself Smallville once a week or for a week every year during their film festival. So it's a great time. Go ahead, Jeff. Now we can talk Eagles or whatever.
All right. No, we're going to talk horror movies. We talked horror movies last week.
Are you becoming a one-trick pony?
What do you mean?
Well, Mike just said it. We'll talk Eagles.
Well, if you want to, I'd love
to. Is that all you offer now?
Apparently, in Mike's opinion, it is. So, horror movies. We get to Halloween, and a lot of people were obviously talking about horror movies, but we're talking Halloween, Mike Myers. We're talking Jason. We're talking Freddy. We're talking The Shining. Is there a movie of the last 20 years that is going to be able to break through the classics? Are we going to? Does any recent horror movie going to stand the test of time for you?
Yes, yes. It was number two at the box office last week, right behind Smile, The Terrifier, Art the Clown. I said it last week, and I'll say it again. Art the Clown is the new Michael Myers. He's the new Freddy Krueger. He is a terrifying, not to use that for as a pun, but the Terrifier is a terrifying killer. I mean, he's scary as I'll get out. H-E double hockey sticks. He's scary as I'll get out and gory.
All right, I'm going to push back.
Hold on, let him talk.
He's the new,
okay.
He is the new character. And again, you go to some of these Halloween costume places, they're selling Halloween costumes. One of the top two or three sellers this year. And he's done four movies now. So he's
the Terrifier. This
Art the Clown.
I got to admit, I've not seen any of them.
Oh, you may not have seen the movies, but I bet you've seen the character because the costume is so prevalent now, and it's a scary looking costume too. So, but you said you disagree, Jeff, or you're going to give a little pushback. Go ahead.
Here's the pushback. I think people want to be scared, yes, but they want some lightness to it, right? They want a little a moment of levity in their horror movies. Do people want to be just scared to death?
Well, that's actually a really good question, Jeff.
Thank you. I come up with some every now and then.
But I don't find humor in gore. Okay, I want to make that. I do not. In fact, I call it gore porn. That it's so obscene because it's so gory, and I just don't like it. But people are laughing all through the movie. I don't get it. I don't see what's funny about some of the scenes in the movie. But it's being billed as a horror comedy. I don't get it. That's how it's billed. Other people are laughing. What makes people laugh nowadays is not the same as it is what makes me laugh. So it is good. It's entertaining, especially at what it does. But I can't deny, even though I'm not crazy about the character, Art is a new character. He is the new boogeyman, if you will. And the numbers show it.
Interesting. As I've said numerous times on this show, in the recent years, I'm completely off the grid when it comes to going to the theater for a movie. Haven't done it in 4 years, more than 4 years. Not sure when I'll do it. I never even look at what's showing.
Isn't that crazy?
What has happened to me? What has happened to me? I feel like I get enough. You know, I watch a lot of shows on all the streaming channels.
Yeah, too many.
Oh, yeah, well, make your judgment, whatever. But the theater has lost its appeal to me, Mike. How am I ever going to get that back?
You have to take a step and just go. Find one that you want to see and just go. And I would recommend that when you do it, that you go back to a matinee, that you go preferably, if at all possible, through the week when there's not that many people there. I got a buddy that I like to take to the movie. He's fighting pancreatic cancer, and I like to go to the movies with him. And he can't go any other time except through the day during the week when the crowds are down. And that's how he got his started back. And that's what I'd recommend. Find something you really want to see. See, I thought you was going to do it with the Flower Moon or one of those movies, or Oppenheimer, but you didn't. So,
No, I waited until it came out.
Did you watch Killers of the Flower Moon?
I haven't ever watched it. Now, there's a movie that I'm looking at right now on my phone, on my Flixster app. And it's showing here locally, and it's called Goodrich with Michael Keaton.
Yeah.
That tweaks me. There's a day I would have definitely gone to that. No
question.
What
does it tweak you, just because he's in it? Or?
I love Michael Keaton.
He was on SNL this past week.
Yeah, I love Michael Keaton. And it sounds like a good premise. Sounds like a good movie. One I would have for sure gone to 5 to 10 years ago. And I don't know. I don't know. So
not no more.
What I'm watching right now, Mike, is on Max, and I'm through two episodes of eight, and it's The Penguin. It's obviously one of those Batman things, and it stars Colin Farrell, who is made up to where you certainly would not think it's Colin Farrell. I'm through two episodes. I am in. My wife seems to be in. She had a moment where she thought she might back out, but we seem to be in. That looks to be one of those shows that's going to win some Emmys. I know you've heard mixed reviews, but I've heard only pretty good ones.
Well, part of the mixed reviews is that one of the original directors or people that was involved in the movie pulled out because it's reportedly so violent. I'm going to start watching it tonight after we had our text back and forth today. I'm watching it late tonight because I'm going to try to go to The Wizard of Oz with my wife tonight. She volunteers at Tallgrass, and so we're going to try to go see The Wizard of Oz. But I'm going to try to start watching that later tonight. And the reviews I've heard is that it was so violent. And I don't
it's
know if
violent.
That's the case or not. You've seen it. I've not seen it. But violence. It offends me depending on how it's done. I shouldn't say it offends me. I'm cautious of violent movies depending on how it's done. I think that the violent nature of movies can potentially do a measure of harm in young minds. It comes back to the place, I think, where parents need to be parents. If a movie is rated R, then don't take a 7-year-old. There were 5- and 6-year-olds in to see Terrifier. that their parents took them.
Well, that's crazy.
I don't understand. It's crazy. I don't understand that at all. But that's the controversy I've heard, is that it was extremely violent, and some people thought it was too violent. But I've heard good things about it, for sure. And I love Colin Farrell. He is one of those great contemporary actors, in my opinion. So, and I love the character of the Penguin as well. So,
yeah, I'm not into violence. I mean, I it's not like I'm a prude or anything, but it just seems like that's all we're getting lately is dark stuff. And
well, the whole Batman thing's dark.
When are artists going to cheer up? Batman's not that dark.
It depends.
I mean, the origin story, I get it. It's all, but we've had fun with Batman over the years, right?
We don't need the Adam West version.
A lot of versions. Michael Keaton was fun. George Clooney was kind of fun. We had fun with these characters. Now let's just make them the darkest possible. They kill people. It's violent. You know what you should watch? Papa's House on CBS with Damon Wayans and Damon Wayans Jr. Two of the funniest people ever on the planet. And it's not just people wanting to be angry all the time. Go for it.
Wow.
Martin.
I'm wanting to be angry.
The people who make these shows are.
I think that Batman, the character, is and always has been, with the exception of the old 60s TV series, been a dark character. And there's a lot of comic books that I think Batman was more of an adult comic in its origins than most people ever even get credit for because of Adam West. That's one of those areas I would disagree. I think Batman is tip. I think.
Well, when I grew up, you know, it was Jim Carrey as the Riddler, these over the top characters, like I said, with some levity to them. It wasn't just all dark. I'm sorry for interrupting, Mike, but when you're off base, I got to cut in. It's my show.
Oh, brother.
Oh, hold on a second. I got to get me something to breathe because I'm laughing so hard. I'm losing my breath here.
Anyway, go ahead.
Anyway,
you're right. Sometimes, Jeff, I was pulling for you, man. I was thinking of you this last weekend with the Guardians. I really was.
Oh, stop it! I'm not over it.
I was grieving for you. I'm serious. I was pulling for the Guardians for you. Now I don't give a flip. I don't care who wins now. But I was pulling for the Guardians.
Me neither.
So. There you go. You're going to put me down. Here we go. I'll remember that next time.
I was just joking. You know I love you.
I know.
But I'm with you on Colin Farrell. I just think anything he does is something I want to watch because he's a gifted actor. And to be able to play this character, Oz, the Penguin, with all this makeup, my God, I mean, it's just unbelievable. It's fascinating to me to watch people at their very best, right? I mean, isn't that what we're looking for in cinema?
Absolutely. And what it does, I think, Bob, because you made mention of his makeup, it gives you such a good impression of the talents and abilities of makeup artists. It makes you notice when those awards come up. You know what I'm talking about? It's like, because you now appreciate what they have done, there's an artist that can make him look nothing like himself. And Hollywood is so much more than just the movie. It's the craft of making it, the way you tell the story. And it's one of the reasons I love movies as much as I do.
All right, Mike. It's always fun. We'll get you on next week. We'll go deeper into the Tallgrass Film Festival and some of the things you're able to see there. And we'll talk to you soon, okay?
You guys take care.
All right, Mike Furches, talking pop culture, which I enjoy doing. Jeff, not so much.
Well, what do you mean?
You want to get it on. There's violence. It's dark.
Well, watch Papa's House.
I'm not watching Papa's House.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm going to watch the next slasher movie.
Not enough murder.
And I'm going to get on it tonight, and I'm going to watch. I'm going to watch people slash it up. Okay.
Good.
That's what I'm watching.
Yeah. What does that satisfy in your brain?
I don't know, but I'm going
to
watch.
Do you want to be a murderer?
No, I don't want to be a murderer, but I want to watch it. That sounded terrible. I want to watch movies.
You want to watch dark, violent movies.
We'll come back in a moment. We'll talk some Chiefs. They made an acquisition. We'll see what we think of it. DeAndre Hopkins, now a Kansas City Chief. They certainly needed to replenish their receiving core, I guess. We'll see what we think about that move. Stay with us.
Is the Bob and Jeff Show.
DeAndre Hopkins looks like he's headed to Kansas City. Details still being worked out. But from I read, they expect him to be on the field this Sunday against Las Vegas. Fifth round pick goes to Tennessee.
Maybe a fourth rounder.
No brainer. But I don't know what DeAndre Hopkins has left in the tank. He'll be playing with Patrick Mahomes, which will help. And
we're going to find
out. This is one of those moves that could end up helping the Chiefs, won't hurt them.
This is how you find out what a wide receiver has left. You put him with Patrick Mahomes and, you know, probably get the best out of him on some level.
Tennessee wasn't going anywhere.
No, and they have Calvin Ridley and DeAndre Hopkins.
You can't even judge what they have.
And they're terrible because their quarterback was terrible. Will Levis and then Mason Rudolph.
So I'm sure DeAndre Hopkins feels a sense of rejuvenation. He's certainly had all pro years. Is he a Hall of Famer?
I don't know.
If Torrey Holt isn't, this guy isn't.
It seems like there are other receivers we need to get in.
Wait a minute, did you hear what I just said?
Before we get DeAndre.
Did you hear what I just said?
Is Torrey Holt not in?
No.
You sure?
Yes. And he's a much better player than DeAndre Hopkins. If you don't mind me saying so.
He's expected to be a finalist again in 2025.
He's not in yet. And DeAndre Hopkins has had a very good career.
Of course he has.
How many yards for Torrey Holt?
13,382.
Yeah, DeAndre's on that. He's getting closer. How many touchdowns for Torrey Holt?
That's not on this little list I'm looking at. So now I got to go to his
actual. I want that information.
Now I got to go to his actual page.
I want that information.
Yeah, I understand what you're looking for.
And I want it now. I'm not used to waiting.
I don't care what you're used to. He's got 74 touchdowns.
79 for Hopkins.
What's the yardage for Hopkins?
12,528.
So they're pretty similar.
Hopkins has never played on a team like the Rams.
Torrey Holt should be in the Hall of Fame. DeAndre Hopkins is probably going to get in.
Who was his main quarterback all those years in Houston?
Schaub.
Matt Schaub, who was a better quarterback than you might imagine.
He was okay. He got pretty bad toward the end of his career. But he was all right.
In 2015, Hopkins had over 1,500 yards. And pretty good club, wasn't it?
I guess it wasn't Schaub.
Who was it? Who was their quarterback? Because he had a run of incredible seasons over there.
Brian Hoyer for a little bit. It was Deshaun Watson for a little bit.
He went to Arizona and had one really good year, his first year there, with Kyler Murray, 1,400 yards. Then he really fell off. Injuries started to plague him. He did play in 17 games last year with Tennessee, had over 1,000 yards, 7 touchdowns, and then this year has been pretty much non-existent for a bad Titans team.
That's how that goes.
And he's
all about the QB.
He's obviously no spring chicken, 32 years old, but there's probably enough in the tank to get him into the end zone a couple, three times for the Chiefs.
It could happen. It's a good move.
Why are you talking down to me?
They were looking at.
It could happen.
I don't know, because you're not really saying anything.
I'm saying a lot.
You're saying, well, he might score a touchdown. Okay, yeah, great. It's a good move. It's an upgrade from what they have. They're still battling injuries.
Who was a Houston quarterback?
Watson, for the most part.
That's when he was a promising guy.
Yeah, I had Shaw playing a little later than he actually did with Houston. He kind of bounced around toward the end. He was done by 2013 in Houston.
And then what? Who was their quarterback then?
It was Osweiler for a year.
Osweiler?
They had Brian Hoyer for a year, and then they went with Watson.
What year?
15, I think, was Watson's first year.
He's that old? Man, the world's spinning so quickly right now. I don't get it. Seems like he just broke in.
Well, he's getting old. I don't know.
Why do you get so flustered?
I don't know.
I want reliable information.
Deshaun Watson came along in 2017. That was his first year as a starter.
Okay, 2017.
Started six games that year.
Who was the other starter?
In 2017? Well, I'll tell you who it was.
I don't have time.
It was Tom Savage, the great Tom Savage.
I barely remember him.
T.J. Yates started three games that year for Houston.
I barely remember him.
Taylor Heinicke got into a game.
Well, anyway, this is a move that only has upside, in my opinion. Has no downside.
Yeah, it's a no-risk move.
Because the Chiefs can win without him.
Right, but you'd rather have him be productive.
You'd love to get some of these guys healthy. They think Hollywood Brown might somehow get back into the mix of things.
In the playoffs.
Later in the year. Well, let me tell you
maybe.
Something. Let me tell you something about what the Chiefs
probably
are thinking.
Probably pretty unlikely.
Let me tell you what the Chiefs are thinking about.
Just because you got proven wrong, you don't get to go double back
Here's
on your answer.
Here's what the Chiefs are thinking. If we can get him back for the playoffs, that's really all that matters. They're in the playoffs.
Fine. But that's also acclimating.
They are already
in
the playoffs.
That's also trying to acclimate a guy who hasn't played all year, that's making sure he's healthy, that's getting him on the field, that's ingratiating him with the quarterback and his fellow receivers. It's relearning the system. There's a lot that goes on for just a guy.
You act like that's an issue.
Well, it's Hollywood Brown. It's not like it's Randy Moss.
It's funny to hear you say that. You act like that's a hindrance to the Kansas City Chiefs.
I don't know what it is.
Mahomes.
Has that happened to them?
You sound like Patrick Mahomes can't adjust to that.
I didn't say Patrick Mahomes,
well,
did I?
That's what I'm taking. That's what I think
not
I heard.
Not a word about Patrick Mahomes was uttered.
Like he can't adjust to the system. Please.
Hollywood Brown? Again, it's
Hopkins
not,
is going to play this
it's
week.
It's not Randy Moss we're talking about.
Hopkins is going to play this week.
Yeah, he's been playing all year.
Hollywood's in all the meetings. You don't think he knows what's going on?
Hopkins has not been hurt all year.
Hollywood's in the meetings.
The meetings? What, is it a good wide receiver room? Is he in the building
a
lot?
Yeah, he's in the meetings.
He knows
the playbook.
Is he a good football player?
He knows the playbook.
I'm sure.
All he's got to do is run the play.
We want him in the building. Shut up.
What are you getting so angry about?
I hate football speak.
He's in the building.
They got a good wide receiver room.
He's in the room. He's listening.
Does nobody else get to come in that room?
He's hearing all the things that are being said in the room.
What if a running back accidentally snuck into the wide receiver room? Do they burn it down?
You're so angry about the Guardians.
The Guardians. That happened months ago.
You turned everyone against the Guardians.
I don't care.
Nobody cares about them.
Mike Furches was rooting for him.
Yeah, but not
Somehow
now.
Somehow our friend Ralph, quote unquote, was rooting for the Yankees. What in the world?
Well, Ralph's a good man.
Who just roots for the Yankees for no reason?
I don't know who. I'm not for anybody. I never am when the Cardinals are not playing, but I'm looking forward to the World Series because I'm a baseball person.
I'm not.
Right, you're not.
I'm brokenhearted.
I've tried to tell you that for years.
I'm heartbroken.
You're not like I am.
No, I'm not looking forward to the World Series,
right.
And neither would you be.
Yes, I would.
You shrugged it off in June that this Cardinals team wasn't going anywhere.
I watched every game.
Yeah, it's easy to watch games when there's nothing at stake.
I watch them. I pour my heart and soul. I watch videos about them,
and I read
every word I can get my hands on.
And what happened to this Twitter deletion or whatever?
I never look at Twitter other than to get to Bernie's YouTube videos and to post about our show.
You know what a good way to get to Bernie's YouTube videos would be? YouTube.
No, I just do it there. I got a plan for it. I execute.
Max said he's got a promo out of this show. He's got to have at least 8 or 9.
None that involve you.
I'm on fire today.
How is that on fire?
I am absolutely.
You know what's a good way to look at Bernie video?
I go to Twitter to get his YouTube videos.
YouTube's a good way. That's what we even talking Bob about? Would say. Why don't you just get on YouTube?
No, future Bob is probably going to 3 or 4 steps to get on YouTube. He's probably going to Google to get on Twitter. He's going to Twitter to get on something. He's going to that to YouTube.
You don't like older people, do you?
Oh, I love them.
Speaking of older people,
but
boys.
You got to admit.
Old 87.
What's that, Max?
Old 87's holding.
Speaking of an older person.
Uh-oh. On the IHOP hotline.
Here's a Jim 94. I've lost track. What's up, Jim?
Yeah. Well, we want to talk a little bit of football because I can remember when you were a Raider fan and guys that were on a junket that I knew about would get on an airplane and gamble all day and all night and get back on an airplane. Never get a motel room and get back into the Sedgwick County area. And so you can do that same thing with the Raiders this weekend.
Are you telling me I should somehow fly to Las Vegas?
Yeah,
and bet all day and then get back here in the evening?
Get back, you know, midnight or sometime like that. I don't know what time the game is on Sunday.
But just go exactly. Out and do some gambling and head back.
No, not do any gambling. Just go to the Raiders-Chiefs game.
Go to the game and then get back here later that evening.
And you used to be a Raiders fan.
Well, that's certainly something to consider. I probably won't do it. It sounds exhausting.
I don't think there are direct flights. There might be. I don't want to say that. But Allegiant, at least, no direct flights on Sunday from Vegas to Wichita. There might be on Southwest. I don't know.
But a good idea, Jim.
We came into with
Wait, I'm
winter.
Wrong about that too. Anyway,
Let
go ahead, Jim.
Talk.
Go ahead, Ole.
Okay, we came within a whisker of having a Subway Series if the the Mets would have won. It would have been a And instead, it's
Subway
a,
Series.
It's a cross country with a.
It's
going
a
on
Route 66 series almost. Not really. That's Chicago. Yeah. Can we get off the air? I'm not on fire anymore, Jim.
Be quiet, Jeff. My God, let people talk.
Well, I think I did.
Go ahead, Jim. Anything else?
This is really historic, and you need to go over and visit your father's grave and kind of read the newspaper to him or something or other. Tell him the score from day to day on this game. The only thing that's going to be missing.
Are you telling Jeff he needs to visit his father's grave or me?
Huh? I'm talking.
Thanks, Jim. I think we've reached the end. Thank you, Jim.
No, we haven't reached the end. The only thing we're going to miss
Max?
In this World Series is Allie Reynolds. We're going to miss Allie Reynolds.
There you go. Thank you, Max.
Who?
There goes Jim. When I say we've reached the end, we've reached
Are
the end.
Are you sure that you wanted him to talk and not me?
When I say we've reached the end, as much as I like Jim, I didn't need that extra Allie Reynolds comment.
Is that what he said?
Yeah.
Allie Reynolds is a good player.
Well, yeah, he's a good player from Jim's youth. You know where Allie Reynolds is from?
Absolutely. Pratt.
No.
No, then I don't know. Bethany, Oklahoma.
He is from Oklahoma. That's good.
Yeah, I know.
Allie Reynolds, I'd have to look up, but I think he had a connection to the old American Association back in the day.
I don't know. He didn't start playing until the 40s. Wasn't the American Association earlier than that?
I'm talking about as an administrator.
Could be. Obviously, a former Cleveland Indian.
869-1240. We've got a busy hotline today. It's sponsored by our friends at IHOP. You can get their $6 specials all week, all during the week, Monday through Friday. We got a full slate of NBA games tonight. We had the Celtics knocking down three-pointers right and left last night in their
Until they
win
couldn't.
Over the Knicks. What?
Until they couldn't.
Well, they got it done.
They missed the last 13 when they had a chance
done,
at their record.
They?
Yeah, they won. How many do you think the Pacers will make tonight?
I don't care about the Pacers. I'll be honest with you.
Horrible.
I'm with you on your Guardians love and admiration. I don't care about the Pacers.
Why?
I just don't care about them. They don't speak to
me. This is the problem with NBA coverage. You'll read any preview article or what's going to happen or here's who you look out for. Pacers made the gosh darn conference finals last year.
They're fine.
And they
get fine.
Literally nothing.
They're fine.
They were one of the four best teams in the league last year.
They're okay.
And no one talks about them.
I gotta tell you, there was a day when I was I got my Sports Illustrated NBA and college basketball preview yesterday. There was a time in my life when I would have devoured that immediately upon arrival.
Sure.
I set it on a table.
Yeah, those were good issues of that magazine.
What's wrong with me?
It's not the same.
It is the same.
It's not
the
same guys.
It's their previews of the NBA.
It's not Gary Smith. It's not Jack McCollum. It's not the...
It's still good people.
Who?
It speaks more to my level of interest in the NBA than anything else.
You should be interested.
I'm just not nearly as interested in it as I once was.
All right.
Just not.
Can you name one writer for Sports Illustrated?
I could if I went up and looked at it. I'd recognize a bunch of the writers. Because they still have their share of really good ones. But they don't have it like back in the day.
Of course not.
So I don't know what you're getting at.
I'm getting at, can you name one? Which you can't, so there we go. Yeah, you might recognize a name, but it used to be back in the day, you could just pop off five or six of the Sports Illustrated writers and go from there. And that's what they were known for. And that's how a lot of people made their name in the industry. Next.
I don't get what you're even getting at.
See, you can't even find one now.
John Wertheim is with Sports Illustrated. He's been with them quite some time.
Well, John.
Michael Rosenberg is a long time, big time writer. He's with Sports Illustrated. So those are two. Now, do they have the lineup they once had? No. But they still got some people.
Excellent.
That's all I'm saying.
Sort of.
I'll go up and look at the issue tonight.
They'll text me who's in it.
I'm not texting
who's,
you.
Who's writing those previews?
I'd prefer not to have any more communication with you today.
Okay, that's fine.
You've not had a good day.
I think I've had one of my best days.
Max said, well, you gave me a highlight, and you think that had something to do with you.
That's not really how I judge it. I give Max highlights every day. It's just how do I feel, and I feel great.
I thought you didn't feel great.
Who said that?
5 minutes ago, you were miserable.
Well, Jack brought me down a little bit. I always call him Jack because he reminds me of Jack, our old Sports Daily caller. Jim brought me down.
Listen, Jack. No offense to Jim, but Jack was one of the all-time great callers.
Of course. And Jim is too, but...
Well, he's a great caller, but they're different.
He's a little bit of a non sequitur. I don't really know where he's going all the time. So when I try to keep up with him, I got to go to a bunch of different places.
What was it like when Jack would call first thing every show?
I don't know.
Well, you answered the phone.
Yeah, I don't remember that. I think I just...
Did you develop a rapport with him?
I think I just put him on.
So no conversation.
I have no idea. I don't remember.
Well, that's totally you.
That was a great tradition.
Well, Jack, just a minute. I mean, it just...
Well, it was 6 in the morning, for God's sake.
No feel for people.
Not then, no, but better now.
I mean, that's Jack, man.
We love Jack.
I actually met him a few times out and about.
I'm sure that was a pleasant experience.
Pastor Mike, obviously, was a good friend.
One of the best. We've lost too many. Pat Pask. Dennis, Dan Barber.
Was a good friend. Pat Pask, a good friend.
Was it, I don't want to misspeak, but the caller from Valley Center who we had early in the show, I want to say his name was Mike, but if I'm wrong about that and someone's listening who knew him, I apologize.
What do you mean, Mike? What about him?
Do you remember him?
I don't know who you're talking about.
Well, it was a man who passed away who called our show early on.
Well, who?
I don't remember his name. That's why I'm apologizing, but I wanted to give him the proper
I remember
reference.
A Mike who was had a very distinctive
voice.
Yeah,
I impersonated him, and then what happened?
Is that the Mike you're talking about?
No, he's still alive and kicking.
Well, why didn't he call?
I think
whatever happened to Chuck?
Where is Chuck?
Chuck, give us a call.
He doesn't do it. He doesn't like me.
You've turned off a lot of people.
A lot of old people, sure.
Well, that doesn't mean they can't call me. Max, here's what I'd like to do moving forward. If someone calls and says, I'd like to be on the show, but I don't want to talk to Jeff at all, I'd like you to take care of that.
That's fine.
Put them through.
You think there will be anybody who goes...
Turn Jeff's mic off.
The other way.
And we'll have a conversation. And on the flip side of that, in the unbelievable circumstance that someone would call and say, I don't want to be on with Bob, but I'd like to talk to Jeff, same thing applies.
That would be a much more interesting conversation, I think.
Turn my mic off and let whomever and Jeff have just one of the worst exchanges you've ever heard
on
radio.
Does Max have access to our microphones?
Sure he does.
I don't know that he does.
Max, turn Jeff down right now.
Max. Only you can. You have the power.
Turn him down.
I'd have to turn you,
if you gotta
to go turn you both off. I'd have to turn you both off.
Call, I was talking about...
Call Odyssey.
Dang,
and get him
That's
off
crazy.
The air. I don't care.
All right, I'll talk to Jay, the engineer.
Yeah, something.
Yeah, get Jay on it.
There has to be a way.
This is too funny. Oh, my God.
There has to be a way to get Jeff...
Was that Max again telling me
out of my headset.
There's got to be, right?
I'm so tired of hearing you today.
What a show I've had. That's when I walk away knowing I've done
it. I like it when you're like you normally are, where you know you're not doing very well, and you just kind of mix into the background.
But today, you admit I'm doing pretty well.
And today, you think you're doing well, and it's been a challenge.
One of our best shows.
We will be here tomorrow with the three-man booth. Jason Duda will join us. We look forward to it. We'll see you then.